Chapter 25. Owen.
Tyar? Bori! I shout, using the few words Zara taught me in the Wastelander's language. The young fighters grapple with each other, filling the cave with grunts and the sounds of exertion. I watch from my position atop a large boulder. With a keen eye, I examine the group as they use the fighting techniques I'd shown them.
Yakshi!
I command after a moment, using the word for stop. Then, after giving them a chance to take a breath, I use the word for again.
Yana!
They go at it once more, as tenaciously as ever. We've been training hard for 2 weeks, coming to the abandoned mine every day while the adults work. The youths showed great promise when we began training, but that didn't prepare me for the incredible progress they've made since then. They've taken to my teachings like fish to water, picking everything up quickly and never offering a word of complaint. Not that I could understand them, even if they did, I think wryly as I watched them spar. To make up for my lack of fluency, I've been forced to physically teach my students fighting styles with very little verbal instructions. Thankfully, it proves effective, and the students are more than eager to learn from me. They seem to revere the things I'm teaching them, grateful to have an outlet to vent their frustrations. It's as if they've been thirsting for this knowledge their entire lives, for a chance to fight without being condemned by their elders. Even as I watch them, I can't help but smile at their attempts to wrestle each other to the ground. My gaze briefly wanders, looking for Zara on the far side of the enormous cavern. She sits near the crystal with a handful of other youths, those who'd shown promise in the ability to use magic. After creating a talisman for herself, she set out to test everyone for the ability to channel source energy. Those who passed became her initiates, and were given crystals of their own. She's a good teacher, I think, watching in admiration as she instructs them on how to make their talismans glow. Light, is there anything she can't do? One of the youths gets pinned and cries out in pain, pulling my attention back to those I'm training.
Yakshi!
I shout, prompting them to stop. Stepping off my perch, I make my way over to the hurt youth. No broken bones, I mutter, giving the young man an encouraging smile. You'll be all right. Get up. Though he doesn't understand me, he pushes himself to his feet, perceiving the meaning of my words. Nodding to the group, I go to the place where I'd set up the mock spears for weapons training. They're no more than long, sharpened sticks, but they'll serve for now. Gathering the weapons together, I return and begin handing them out, looking each of the trainees in the eyes and saying the word for weapon.
Shar!
They accept the spears reverently, standing at attention and awaiting further instruction. Their steadfastness puts most of the rangers I know to shame, I think, remembering Talon and other slothful apprentices I'd met at the lodge. The thought comes with a pang of sadness, and I quickly push it aside, focusing my mind on the task at hand. Just as we're about to begin, a youth named Connick rushes into the chamber looking sweaty and disheveled. He immediately races over to our position, speaking in an urgent tone that echoes off the cavern walls. This causes everyone to panic, sending the youths scrambling over to Connick and the exit tunnel. They don't spare me a second glance as they depart, but they do hold on to the spears I'd given them, hastily rushing out of the mine. I give Zara a questioning look. What's going on? She regards me from her place by the crystal, her eyes lined with concern.
He said the demons are coming, she replies, and we all need to go back now.
Setting my jaw, I go to her side. We'd better leave then. Nodding, she takes my hand, and together we make our way to the exit. When we reach the shadow of the tunnel, we pick up the safety rope and follow it, moving slowly through the darkness. When we finally emerge into the sunlight, most everyone has already left the valley and started making their way toward the encampment. The two of us wordlessly follow suit, running as quickly as we can in the same direction.
More demons? My thoughts race as we go. What could this mean? Is it the army I saw? Or are they here to take additional resources and kidnap more people?
The memory of the screaming girl and her murdered father still seems fresh in my mind. By the time we make it out of the hills, we're both drenched in sweat and breathing heavily. The sun is high overhead, and the dusty stones seem to radiate heat, cooking us like an oven. As we approach, I can see a large group of people gathered together on the edge of the encampment, everyone kneeling in reverence before a handful of gorgons.
"They're already here," Zara observes worriedly. "What should we do?"
"Keep low," I reply, following the path the youths had taken along the ridge. "If we're lucky, the demons won't notice we're here. Of course, we could have stayed behind in the cavern and waited for this whole thing to blow over, I think. That would have been the safest thing for us to do." I quickly refute the idea, though, and continue forward. The youths have brought their spears back, and now they know how to use them. Somehow, I doubt they'll keep to themselves if things turn violent. "These are my students now," I think with surprising pride. "I'd be a poor master if I let something bad happen to them." We approach the gathered slaves as they kneel before their demonic masters. Near the back, the youths cluster together, their handmade weapons lying on the ground beside them. Zara and I crouch in the shade of a tent, watching the proceedings from the farthest distance possible. As far as I can tell, there are only three gorgons, their dark armor glinting in the afternoon sun. They seem to be examining baskets of grain, speaking to one another in their harsh, guttural language. Zara leans forward and asks a question of the nearest slave. The girl gives a quick response before bowing her head, pointedly turning her back on us. I frown at Zara. "What's going on?"
"I guess this happens often," she replies, keeping her voice low. "A few demons come to inspect their progress and cause trouble. She says it usually doesn't last for long."
I turn my gaze back to the front. The demons seem to be arguing about something. Turning, one of them points to an old woman in the middle of the crowd. I recognize her as one of the elders we met on our first night here. She stands, calm as a forest pond, and addresses the demons, motioning to the gathered resources and answering their supposed question. Her response doesn't seem to please them. One of the gorgons yells something, causing her to shrink back in fear. She offers a response, but this only prompts the other two gorgons to chuckle, a grating, unnerving sound. The first gorgon bellows in rage again and draws its sword. I resist the urge to reach for my own weapon and leap to her defense.
"Careful, Owen," I remind myself, taking a calming breath. "You don't want to stir up any trouble. You'll only make things worse."
The demon swings like a farmer cutting wheat, the weapon slicing the poor woman's stomach from side to side. She falls, gasping, to the ground, and I can see crimson blood blossoming on her robes as the other wastelanders gather around her. Yari, who is kneeling nearby, growls like a feral beast, his fists clenched as he watches the murder from his knees. The demons all laugh, their mockery washing over the crowd of cowering slaves. After a minute, the one with the sword turns to address everyone, its coarse voice speaking in the people's own language.
"What's he saying?" I whisper to Zara, who pales visibly.
"They say as punishment for the insufficient tribute, they're going to take another captive."
"Hells," I curse under my breath. "It's happening again."
The demon makes his way through the camp, examining each person with its glowing red eyes. It doesn't seem to notice Zara and I as it draws near, but seems focused on a young girl not 10 paces away from us. Smirking, it levels a black-nailed finger at her, and she begins to cry. Yari says something quietly to his friends, then reaches for his spear.
"Oh, no," Zara says, pointing. "I think he's about to do something very stupid."
Before either of us can react, Yari jumps to his feet and charges the demon, his face a determined mask as he quickly closes the gap between them. He lets out a savage yell and aims the weapon at the monster's chest. The gorgon spins, his eyes growing wide with surprise, then grunts as the spear jabs into its black armor, the point puncturing just beneath its arm. Despite Yari's bravery, the thrust is clumsy and poorly executed. The spear snaps in his hands before it can go deep enough to do any real damage. The demon looks down, enraged, then rips the spear point out, tossing the broken haft aside like a snapped twig. Then he backhands Yari, sending him tumbling to the ground. I stand, pulling out my dagger, and begin racing toward Yari as swiftly as I can. The demon draws its sword and grins, eagerness flaring in its glowing red eyes as it notices my approach. I fall into a fighting stance as everyone else shuffles away, desperate to distance themselves from the fight. The gorgon lunges a second later, driving its sword like a lance toward my belly. I easily sidestep the attack, twisting as the creature exposes its unprotected side. Seeing an opportunity to strike, I leap to the offensive, stabbing at the dark mail between armor segments. The quill goes deep, and the Gorgon lets out a howl of pain. To my side, Zara stands, holding her talisman and facing down the other two demons, who are now racing to help their companion. The Gorgon in front of me spins, slashing with its sword, but I manage to dodge this attack as well, jumping back on my heels and nearly tumbling into a tent. Catching myself, I duck as it delivers a follow-up attack, then another, swiping in an attempt to take off my head. As the blade whistles past, I spring upward, driving the tip of my weapon under the demon's chin, piercing the flesh and stabbing into its brain. Mage fire flashes behind me, and the slaves all let out a cry of alarm. Grunting, I let the body slump to the ground. I turn to see that Zara has engulfed one of the remaining demons in blue flames, causing it to shriek in agony and drop its weapon. The other circles her warily, its horned head swiveling between her and his dying comrade. Before I can spring to her defense, the rest of the youths jump to their feet, lifting their spears and their voices in defiance. They charge a second later, rushing the remaining demon with reckless abandon. I curse and sprint after them. Zara lowers her next ball of mage fire, not wanting to harm any of the wastelanders now standing in her way. One of the lads is immediately cut down, the Gorgon splitting him open from throat to navel. Another is quickly wounded with a nasty gash to his leg. Shoving past a pair of spear-wielding boys, I throw myself between the others and the demon, narrowly dodging the creature's next attack. Then, lowering my head, I drive my shoulder into its gut, knocking both of us to the ground in a cloud of dust. The youths converge in a frenzy, stabbing wildly with their spears and screaming like wild beasts. Fortunately, I manage to roll to the side as the bloodletting commences, my vision clouded by dust and flecks of gore. The Gorgon tries to get up, roaring in anger and pain, but it soon collapses, its flesh pierced in dozens of places by the bloody points of makeshift spears. The girls and boys continue stabbing, even after it's long dead. I push myself up and stagger over to Zara, ignoring the horrified onlookers all around me.
"You okay?"
she asks as I approach. I nod, wiping the blood from my face.
"Fine. You?" "Yeah,"
she replies, biting her lower lip in concern. Her gaze lingers on the savagery unfolding before her. After a moment, the young warriors back away from the mutilated corpse, panting as they exchange looks of amazement, a feeling in which I share. They'd stood up for themselves, and they'd killed a demon. The threat is over. For now. Someone cries out, an elder with multicolored beads adorning his neck. He stumbles out of the crowd and begins moaning unintelligibly, his expression a mask of anguish and sorrow.
"What's he saying?" I ask, leaning over to Zara. "I'm not really sure," she replies. "Though if I were to guess, it would be, 'What have you done?' or something along those lines."
Yari steps forward, holding his broken spear, and boldly addresses the elder. Zara translates softly in my ear.
"I think he's saying that they've done what the others have been afraid to do. They've defended themselves against the R'hllar."
A terse yet brief conversation ensues between Yari and the elder, but I don't need a translation to understand the meaning. The old man's furious tirade tells me everything I need to know about the exchange. We've crossed a boundary that hasn't been crossed in centuries. Things are different now, and not for the better. At length, the elder shakes his head and spits on the ground, proclaiming something that sounds very much like a curse.
"What was that last bit?" I ask, lowering my voice as an uncomfortable silence ensues. She turns to look at me, her expression troubled. "He condemns us all for dooming them," she says, chagrined. "Owen, he wants to turn us over to the demons to answer for our crimes."
Reaching for my still bloody dagger, I growl, "I've already been sentenced to death once. I'll be damned if I'm going to let it happen again."